Born is the King of Israel. That's not just Israel, the King of the universe, the King of the world, the King of every tongue and tribe and nation. We're here to worship Him, and that's what the Advent season is all about as we lead up to Christmas, the time when we remember His entry into this planet. But I'm curious, as we approach this Christmas season, how many of you have ever heard the Christmas story before? This isn't your first time. You've heard it before. Can I just see your hand? Okay. It appears that most of us, if not all of us, have at least heard this Christmas story once. Now, there's a danger with familiarity. When you're aware of something, you've heard it before, sometimes you can say, oh, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, you know, and you don't even think about it. We're reviewing a story here that you've seen in pageants, you've read it, you've seen the little kids do it, over and over again. We need to ask God to say, Lord, will you please somehow help us see this through new eyes this morning? And speak to us in a way perhaps that we've never heard before. If that's your heart, then I think God will speak to us. Christmas is a time when we think obviously about the birth of Jesus. It's also a time for pregnancy and babies. There's a lot of pregnant women around. We've got a pregnant lady in our office. My physiotherapist is pregnant. The other day I was walking out of my car and this very pregnant woman walked right past me. And there's something beautiful about a pregnant woman. They just glow. They radiate. It's very, very precious. I'm curious, how many expectant women are here in the congregation this morning? Oh, I just saw a couple men faint over there. I'm teasing. Okay, here's another question. How many expectant men are there in the congregation? Yeah, we have a couple. That's strange. I thought we'd have more than that. I'll tell you why. Today's story is actually about men who were expecting. Expecting a baby. I didn't say having a baby. They were expecting a baby. Let's take a look at the verse, and I want you to read it with me. It's up on the screen. Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Together? After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Have you ever wondered what in the world was going on in the minds and hearts of these wise men or magi or three kings as we've come to know them? What was going on? Now, there's a lot of tradition and idea and folklore about what it was, but one thing we know very clear from the scripture is these guys were expecting. They were expecting. You see, like us, they had heard about a Messiah, a Savior, a King who was supposed to be coming to earth. Somehow the ancient Jewish prophecies had spread through that region, and they were aware that there was supposed to be this amazing person born in Israel. They were aware of that. They were also aware from the prophecies that this person would somehow be bringing the very presence of God, the blessings of God, and that would not only impact the nation of Israel, but would flood out through the nations. This person would be bringing in justice and righteousness and peace and joy. This person would be bringing healing for people and for the nations, being restoring relationships and bringing about the blessings of God. And I tell you, that's good news for anybody, anywhere, anytime. Don't you agree? You think of what's happening today in our world? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people could know that God was actually going to heal this mess that's going around? That's great news. And good news travels fast, even across the vast stretches of the desert. So these people had that information. Now, a question I have, though, is if that information was available out there, which it was, how come so few wise men came on this search? Now, tradition says there was three wise men, only because we know there were three gifts given, but we're not sure exactly how many. But however, whether it was three or five or even ten, the number was relatively small compared to the population of people who knew the prophecies. And have you ever wondered why so few? You see, things haven't changed much, have they? This Christmas, 2005, people all over the world are going to be hearing this Christmas story in one way or another. Some for the second or 100th time like you, some for the first time. But you know what? Most people who hear the Christmas story this year in 2005 are going to be like the many people other than the wise men. They won't do anything about it. It won't really adjust their life at all. It won't impact them. Something was different about these wise men. What was it? You see, good news by itself doesn't change us. All over the world, people hear good news. You're hearing some this morning. Will it change you? I don't know. Good news by itself doesn't change us. What was it that made these guys, we'll say three for the sake of our story, what was it that made these three guys so different? What was it that caused them to grab a hold of those stories, those rumors, and do something about it to allow them to come face to face with the Christ child? You see, if we can discover what it was, we might just learn a key that could also help you and me encounter God. Interested? See, coming from the East, these guys were more than likely Zoroastrian or pagans in their worship and in their understanding of God or gods. The question is, coming from that background, how could these guys get it so right when the Jewish religious leaders who had the scriptures in the temple in Jerusalem got it so wrong? How can it be? How can it be that people all over the world this Christmas in churches will hear the story and will not pursue Jesus when others in the world who have never heard of him before may be searching for him harder than you and I are? How can that be? How can it be? What was the difference? What was it in these guys? You know what it was? They were expecting. They were expecting. Are you an expectant person? Now, you thought I was talking about pregnancy before, so nobody said. We all have expectations, but the expectations that we see in the heart of these guys is not at this human level that has to do with our temporal desires and issues that we may be able to manipulate or arrange. Something was deeper in these guys. It was a different level of expectancy. Somewhere deep inside the spirit of these men was an appetite, a hard-to-define hunger that was permeating their whole being, that drove them forward, that made them unrelentless in their desire to satisfy it. You see, these guys were wise men. They already were wise, but they knew that wisdom didn't satisfy them. They were wealthy men. You can't take an international trip like they did and not have reserves behind you. They were wealthy men, but they knew money didn't satisfy them. These men were men of position. They had the esteem of their community. They were highly exalted. They had what most of us long for. But they knew that didn't satisfy them. They were still hungry, still longing for something more. They were expecting something else, something more significant, something deeper, indeed, something higher. They were waiting for something more. And here's the key. Their expectation was not based upon their personal desires or their ambitions or their goals. They hadn't attended some power of positive thinking rally and realized, I just got to be a more expectant person. That's not what produced it. It wasn't just their personality type. What was it? Their expectation was based on a promise from God. Hear that. Their expectation was based on a promise from God. This is the key. Have you ever noticed that the Bible is absolutely full of promises? It is loaded, Old Testament, New Testament. It's loaded with promises for you, for me. But many of those promises are like great big hunks of gold sitting right by the roadside or by the sidewalk, and most people walk right by them every single day and they never even notice they're there. Hundreds. Thousands of promises waiting to be claimed, waiting to be picked up, treasured, purchased, cashed in, and made ours. And yet most people don't even know they're there. See, most people do not expect God to intervene in their lives because they are not aware of the promises of God. They don't know that God has already made promises of what he's going to do, of how he's going to do it, and how he is willing to do it. They're there. But because we don't know the promises, we're not expecting anything. Now, of course, the world is full of religious sayings and promises that are folklore or that we think are from God. How do we know when a promise really is from God or just one of our own desires? How do we know? How could the Magi know that their expectancy of a new Savior King was on solid ground and not just fancy footwork? How did they know? How could they know? Well, I'll tell you. They watched. They looked. They searched. They explored. I'm sure they checked out the Old Testament prophecies and looked at them. They looked in everywhere they knew. They even looked into the sky. And we say, well, that's weird. Well, they were astronomers. They perhaps were astrologers. And they were reading the sky. They were looking for clues. You see, whenever we expect God to keep a promise, we will then begin to watch for how He's going to do it. You know, people ask why I'm staying in Egypt so long. That's a roundabout way of saying, why are you getting so old? No, but they're saying, why are you staying in Egypt so long? Well, I'll tell you, I love Egypt, and I love this church, but that's not the primary reason. The primary reason why I stay in Egypt is because God made a promise in Isaiah 19 that He is going to bless Egypt and someday use Egypt to bless the nations of the world. Do you hear that? God said it! And God never breaks His promises. And so because I have picked up that promise, and I've cashed it in, and I said, Lord, I believe You, I can't help. I'm looking all over the place now and seeing how God is fulfilling His promises. Look at it. The nations of the world are being blessed in Egypt. That's just one place. It's happening in so many places. And from here, God is sending people all over the world to bless the nations. I get excited, folks. You see, when we understand the promises of God and apply them to our hearts, all of a sudden, everything else in life starts to take focus. It starts to marshal our energies and our efforts. That one single promise, dear friends, will give you. If you feel purposeless in Egypt, that one single promise will line you up with the purposes of God. It will put a force and a drive in your heart and a reason for being here far beyond your occupation or sightseeing or whatever else you're doing. The Magi watched for a sign that God's rumor was true. And God saw their internal hunger, and He spoke a language that these astronomers and astrologers could understand. He somehow aligned the very stars and planets in the sky to send them a message that was a clear signal that called forth their pursuit. Now, there's many theories as to what that was. Was it one bright star shining over? Was it an alignment of the planets? Was it the constellations moving in such a way that they were pointing to the place? There's many different theories, and we don't exactly know what it was, but whatever it was, it got their attention. It spoke a language that they could understand. Some people are surprised that God would use astronomy or astrology to confirm His word. I'm not surprised at all. God speaks the language of every single human heart. God knows what's going on in every single life, and He knows how to speak exactly to their heart. God knows what's going on in your heart this morning. God knows what it is that drives you. God knows what it is that puts you off of Him. God knows exactly what makes you tick and what makes you ticked. God knows. And God is able to speak right to the issues of your soul. Because He knows you. He made you. Now, whenever God uses alternate methods, He never contradicts His word, what He's already spoken. I'm not talking about speaking in every language, every religion is right. That's not what I'm saying. But He can use any and every method possible to speak to the human heart and draw them to His truth. He can use dreams. He can use vision. He can use nature. He can even use the very stars of the sky, as this story unfolds and tells us so. God will speak to anyone, anywhere, anytime, as long as our ears are open to listen. Let me tell you an up-to-date story to make this point. This happened actually about 30 years ago, so some of you young people may think that's not up-to-date. But anyway, about 30 years ago, on the island of East Kalimantan, or Borneo, in Indonesia, there was a man in one of the villages in the interior who was the idol maker in the village. And he was carving idols, and he would sell these idols to the people of his village, and they would worship them as their god. And it was a lucrative business. It was his great. But one day while he was doing this, all of a sudden he looked at his hands, and he said, you know what? My hands are making God. So my hands are obviously more powerful than God. They are God. And so he started to worship his hands. He kept up his lucrative business, of course, because it was his income stream. And but he was worshiping his hands. Well, one day, while he was making idols, worshiping his hands, the thought occurred to him. Just a minute. Who made my hands? And so, in his simple, uneducated way, he said something like, whoever you are, if there's someone out there who made my hands, if you reveal yourself to me, I will worship you. The very next day, a missionary who was ministering in over the mountains in the next village came with a delegation from that village over the mountains into this village. They called an assembly. They gathered the people of that village together, and the missionary's opening words were, I have come a long way to tell you about the one true God who has made the heavens and the earth, you and your hands. He actually said that. Take a wild guess who the first believer was. God knows how to speak to people's hearts. And God knows exactly how to draw forth from every human being who has any interest in Him the desire to know Him and to pursue Him. Like with the ancient kings, God knows how to, whether it's stars or hands or whatever it is, to necessarily put the stuff in our place to give us the clues. Let me ask you this Advent season. At this time, at Christmas time, when we look back to that first Christmas when God invaded history, came here in flesh, fulfilled the promises of the Old Testament prophecies in coming and arriving and living and dying and paying for our life and bringing us back to heaven and bringing the blessings of God to our lives. When we remember that, and in light of the fact that the Scriptures teach that Jesus is coming again to this earth, He is coming again, this time not as a suffering servant, but as a reigning sovereign. He's coming this time to set up His kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. He's coming this time and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's coming to redeem those unto Himself who trust Him and who believe Him, and we shall reign with Him. These are the promises of God. In light of the promises that He fulfilled, in light of the promises that are coming, that are unmistakable, He always keeps His promises. In light of all that, I ask you, are you an expectant person? What do you do with those promises? Are they gold nuggets? Do you leave them by the side of the road, or do you pick them up? Do you say, that's mine, I take it, cash it in, and set your life on it? Are you an expectant person? See, nowadays, we're taught that our success in life, our quality of life, our advance in life is determined by our IQ. That means our intelligence quotient. If you are a smart person, if you have the ability to process quickly and contain lots of information, then you are set for success in life. You are going to make it in life. You are going to be smoking everybody in terms of getting way ahead of the crowd. That's what the world says. And if you want to get into a really good university, you need a very high IQ. But you know what? If you want to get into God's blessing, God does not measure us by our IQ. Thank God for that. So for some of us, it's a thank God for that. God doesn't measure us by our IQ. You know what He measures us by? Our EQ. Our EQ is not our intelligence quotient, it's our expectancy quotient. How much are you expecting God to keep His promises? How much are you expecting all those gold nuggets of promises, the hundreds, the thousands that God has placed through His Word and that are available for you? How much are you expecting God to act on His promises, to keep His Word, and to fulfill them in your life? How much are you expecting Him? You know why that's so important to God? Because another word for that is faith. That's what faith is all about. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God and then by putting it into practice. Expectancy quotient. See, when we expect God to fulfill His promises, and remember, He's got a perfect record of doing so. When we expect God to keep His promises, it then prompts us to watch for all the ways that God is going to do it. When we expect God to fulfill His promises, we then make it our priority to pursue all the clues that He's laying out before us. When we expect God to fulfill His promises, we are then willing to set aside anything and everything in life that does not, or that hinders us from pursuing His promises, because we know that nothing, absolutely nothing in life is more important and can compare with the thrill of encountering Christ. I wish we could have been there then, that moment when the Magi actually got there and discovered the Christ child. Can you imagine their joy as they laid their gifts of sacrifice before Him? Can you imagine what was pulsating in their heart? Do you think for a moment they ever said, "No, I wish you wouldn't have done this. I wish you wouldn't have given up all this time, all this effort, all this energy." They were going, "Nothing in life is better than this." And that's what happens whenever you and I encounter the living God. It's worth everything else we set aside. But it all begins with expectancy. To experience the fulfilled promises of God, dear friends, is what life is all about. That's why He made you. Advent is a time to expect. To expect God to fulfill His promises. To expect deep and special encounters with the only one who ultimately matters. That's what this season is about. And so I ask you this morning, how's your EQ? How's your expectancy quotient? Are you watching for Christ? Are you pursuing Jesus? The Magi found the Savior King. If you were expecting Him, you will too. You will too. I want to leave you with a fabulous promise. Just one of the many in the Scripture. But look at this promise. Up on the screen, it comes from Jeremiah. I want you to read this one with me. "If you seek Me, you will find Me. When you search for Me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Isn't that incredible? Let's read it one more time. This is from God to you. "If you seek Me, you will find Me. When you search for Me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Now, you may be one of those who say, "That doesn't work for me. I can't find God." Adrian Rogers said, I find this a little comical, he said, "A man who says he cannot find God is like a robber or a thief who says he can't find a policeman." Think about it. Could it be the reason we don't find God is because deep down we really don't want to? God has flat out said, "I'm here. If you seek Me, you seek Me with all your heart, guaranteed, you will find Me." That's the promise He gives you this Advent, this Christmas. Are you going to let it lay as a gold nugget by the road and just walk by? Or are you going to pick that one up like the Magi of old and say, "This is mine. I'm going for God's best." This year, this Advent, ask yourself this question, which may be the most important question you ever asked yourself in life. When it comes to the promises of God, am I an expectant person? Am I expecting God? Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank You for the way that Your Word brings life to us, for the way it dispels our darkness, for the way it speaks deep to our spirit and creates within us a genuine hunger for You. And Lord, we sense that You're doing that this morning in many hearts. We pray that this Christmas season would be more than just the same old celebrations of traditions and histories. Oh God, from the depths of our heart, we say, will You please draw us afresh to Yourself? Will You please help us encounter You in ways that perhaps we've never experienced You before? Will You please help us to see afresh with new eyes the promises You've given us, many of them, all of them, and help us claim them as our own, and then pursue You until we find their fulfillment.
Make us, O God, for your sake and for ours, expectant people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.